night. Hope you had a good day, and if you didn't, you're almost over.
As they say, all we lack is finishing. But good to see you tonight. If you'll make your way to Psalm 100, Psalm 100 is where we'll be. I am convinced that on the Wednesdays that I am preaching that night, I think the Lord likes to make sure, likes to get me ready for the message, I guess. I'll say it that way, all right? And that is usually trial by fire sometimes. And so I told Linda that one time, and I was in a rotation at our church in Texas and was on a rotation for Wednesday nights. And I told my wife, every time it's my turn to preach that night, that Wednesday at work always goes awry. It always just goes cray cray, all right? And I hope maybe you have been there a little bit, and maybe it's been a good day, maybe it's been a bad day, maybe it's been just a day. Either way, I know that the scripture can help. So we'll go there, all right? Psalm 100, as we do start off tonight, let me ask a few questions, all right? How many of you have been some sort of boss, manager, and had some people work for you? How many of you have had that? All right? Very good. Very good. Let me ask you this question. Did you ever have any with a bad attitude? Okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. All right. It's interesting. The same amount of people who've been a manager say they've had somebody with a bad attitude. All right. Very interesting. Same number. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you are parents and have kids that every once in a while have a bad attitude? Amen. Very good. Very good. All right. Let's dial in a little bit closer. How many of you are a spouse and have had a spouse that at times has a bad attitude? Very good. Very good. Very good. All right. Brother Bo, I don't know a lot. I've been married just a short time, but I just know you might dial it down. You might be sleeping on the couch. All right. Very good. All right. Very good. All right. Let me ask you this. Okay, so we've gone maybe employer to parent to spouse. How many of you as an individual have ever had a bad day where you had a bad attitude? Okay, some of you are lying dogs because your hand's not up, okay? Miss Tiffany. Oh, okay. I just changed it. Hey, there you go. There you go. All right. Very good. Very good. Okay. All right, now as we think about that, the reason why I say that is not to poke fun, because sometimes those are very frustrating, okay? And I don't mean to make light of it. Sometimes the best way to deal with something is to laugh through it. But the truth of the matter is, regardless of what your life experience is, if you've lived with yourself, you know the ramifications, the how tough it can be when a bad attitude sets in. It can ruin a lot more than just your day. It can ruin your spirit. It can ruin families. It can ruin relationships. I mean, a bad attitude can really destroy a lot more than just a day. And so while we know that, the truth of the matter is that while we know it, we still have to work through it, okay? So when we come to Psalm 100, we've titled it this, the How to Have a Right Attitude Psalm, okay? The How to Have a Right Attitude Psalm. So let's read it, okay? Psalm 100, the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now we're going to break it down a little bit, but can we just stop and rewind and say this from verse 5, for the Lord is good. Isn't he good? Many times, the reason why I have a bad attitude is not necessarily from here. And I mean from the circumstances and the people around me. Okay? Most of the time, the root cause of a bad attitude is this thing right here. Okay? We all have things that we have to deal with. We do. But most of the time, the battle with an attitude is a battle for the mind. I read a theologian one time, and he, Bancroft, I don't know if anybody's ever read some of Bancroft, but it's deep, real deep, all right? I'm talking sentences that are like my paragraphs, and I'm like, bro, you lost me about 300 words ago, all right? But I do remember this, and very clearly I remember this, and it says, the same sun that softens the wax hardens the clay. It's the same sun. But what it does is dependent upon the material, okay? So when it comes to my attitude, we all have stuff we have to deal with, okay? The problem is what my attitude is made of. That's my part in it, okay? So as we look at it today, this is how to have a right attitude. And very clearly, just from Psalm 100, it's simple tonight. But keeping a right attitude is often a challenge. Hello, have you ever lived? Right? It is a challenge. And not even a challenge on a day-by-day basis. It is literally a challenge on a moment-by-moment by moment, by nanomoment, second sort of situation, right? And so while it's a challenge, we know that Philippians 4:13 is for situations like this, okay? Again, I always like to say it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, which means under the tree is going to be a Ferrari, amen. Not so much, okay? But when it comes to having the right attitude, having the right heart, having the right spirit, having a godly position and disposition, listen, that's Philippians 4:13. When it's hard to forgive, that's when I can do all things through Christ. When it's hard to have a right attitude, that's when I can do all things through Christ, okay? So while it's a challenge, it's a fight worth fighting, okay? And the psalm, this psalm sets a standard for Christians by pointing out that God deserves to see in his children, ready? Joyfulness and thankfulness. Doesn't God deserve that? When you think about all that God has done for us, we already said it. See, I set you up on purpose. We already said the Lord is good, okay? So because he's so good, the truth of the matter is that he deserves for his children to have a joyful and a thankful attitude. Now here's the problem. Most of the time, what do we give him? What he deserves or something else? And sometimes it's something else, right? Now here's a hard part about having a bad attitude is that in this day and age, it's really, because bad attitude is such a big thing, it's not as frowned upon. It's celebrated in our culture. I mean, you can look at clothing, right? In my generation, I know for some of you, you'd be like, wow, that wasn't that long ago. And some of you will say, dude, you're dirt, okay? But you remember the whole generation of no fear, right? No fear. It's on everybody's truck and everybody's shirts and different things, right? Well, many times, maybe we were also, we said this a lot, whatever. 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 And Brother Boat, let me give you a little marriage advice. I'm just kidding. It's only because of earlier. Okay. All right. When my wife says whatever, it doesn't mean whatever. It doesn't. Okay. But what I'm saying is this, that many times a bad attitude is celebrated in our culture. Okay? It's celebrated. I see this shirt a lot on a lot of kids that come to school, and it is, my mom made me turn my video game off, and so I'm here, so you better be happy. Oh, okay. All right. Very good. But what I'm saying is, literally, a bad attitude many times is celebrated, okay? But the problem is, as a Christian, it's a horrible sin to walk around in a poor attitude. It's a sin, okay? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin, okay? All right, so if you're a Christian and God has done so much for you, which he has, so let's highlight a few of these things. Verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, all right? So number 1, here's some of the blessings that God has given to us. First of all, God's created you. He made you, okay? Secondly, verse number 3, for the child of God, we are his people, right? When God saved us, we became his people. Then in verse number 3, we also see this, and the sheep of his pasture, right? God has cared for you, right? It's so interesting. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You know what the big part of that is? His seed begging bread. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed. It's about his people. It's about the sheep of his pasture. If I was a rancher and I had 100 head of cattle and I never fed them, I never watered them, I left them in mud and dirt and didn't care anything about a fence living along a highway, would you say I was a good rancher or a bad rancher? Terrible. All right? I'd be a terrible rancher. Okay? Now here's the truth. We're the sheep of his pasture. And our shepherd takes great care of us. Okay? So God has cared for us. All right? Verse number 5, for the Lord is good, right? God has been good to us. His mercy is everlasting. God has given us his mercy. His truth is in his, and his truth endureth. He has extended to you his truth. He's given us his word. All of those are blessings. Those are wonderful things that God has given to us, right? So we can start by just looking at those blessings, okay? So because of these wonderful things that God has done for us, doesn't he deserve to see and to hear the right kind of attitude? That's just the natural outpouring because he's been so good. Right? I can remember a day in our family's history, momentous day, okay? My dad, while he was a pastor and loved people, he was not an adventurous kind of guy, okay? So in one day, we went to Elitch's in Denver, right? So we spent the whole day in the amusement park, which is dad's most favorite place to be not, okay? He's like, I spent $55 for me to ride this bench all day, all right? Not real interested, okay? But he did it for us, right? And then when we got done, I'm telling you, I don't know what it was, but it was quite a day, all right? When we left there, we literally left Elitch's from the whole day, and we had dinner at Casa Bonita. How many of you have ever been to Casa Bonita, right? All right? It's the big, beautiful house, right? It's this big, massive place. It's been redone because it really needed to be redone a long time ago. But at the same time, it's got this waterfall that they're diving off this cliff. You're eating dinner in there. It's like as if you're in this like Mexican village, and it's just like super immersive. It's pretty awesome, okay? All right, so it's an adventure in and of itself. We did both of those in one day. Now, I don't remember how old I was, but I do remember being young, where just after Elitch's alone, we're all tired, all right? And when you're tired, you're always pleasant, right? Not so much, okay? So we did all of this stuff all day long, and we get home, and my dad was so hacked at us. He was so mad. And it was because we were being terrible. We were like, we're cranky. We're tired, we hate each other, we hate the world, nobody ever does anything for us. You know what I'm talking about. If you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? And let me just tell you, after my dad spent all of that money and did all of those things just for us, you know what he got in return? A bunch of bad attitudes. And when you look at that, you're like, yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah, and so is it with God too. That when he does so much for us, then our proper response is to have a good attitude because he's done so much for us, okay? So let's break it down a little bit more. Number one, God deserves to hear joyful sounds from his children. Verse number one, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, okay? So when we think about making a joyful noise, all right, I think of that silly $5 xylophone that I bought Michael. Ding, 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 ding. Right? Okay. So that's a noise. Not really a joyful noise, but it's a noise, right? So let's break down a joyful noise a little bit farther. I got four or five here. Okay. Number one is this. Laughter. Laughter. Psalm 126, 1 and 2. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Listen, a happy Christian is somebody who has a great testimony for the Lord. A happy Christian. You know why? Because it shows how good our God has been to us. The opposite is true. If a happy Christian is a great testimony for the Lord, an unhappy Christian isn't a great testimony to the Lord. Sometimes the problem with our bad attitude is that ultimately we make God look real bad. You see, it is true that sometimes the only Bible that somebody might read is us. And so we got to be careful with that. When somebody sees somebody who is joyful, that doesn't mean that every moment you're saying, oh, it's great, it's great. I just got punched in the face. It's great. Love it. Love it. No. No, but here's the problem, is that when we get bent out of shape, just like a lost person, and we have a scowl on our face all the time, and we're moody, and we're cranky. I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to do it. Why would they want what we have? They already have those issues. And so our mouth should be full of laughter. Man, there is nothing better than when that little five-year-old over there starts laughing and belly laughing. I can have the worst day ever, but I start hearing that, it's all going to be okay. And the truth is that laughter is a gift from God. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. You know it's coming. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Because God has been so good to us, one of the joyful noises that should come from his people is laughter. Is laughter. Again, I'm not saying that every moment has to be laughing. I know somebody that's kind of their nervous habit, that they just laugh, and most of the time I want to wring their neck. All right? Amen? Okay? You guys leaving me up here all by myself? Okay, fine. All right, I'll be here by myself. All right? But you're just like, stop laughing! Ugh! So we're not saying continual just laughing all the time at everything. But bless God, God has been so good to us, it can put a smile on our face. And we don't have to be mad about it. We can laugh. We can have a time because it does. God's given us the gift of laughter because it works like a medicine. It's helpful. So that's one of the joyful noises. Here's another joyful noise is this, positive statements. Positive statements. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech be always with grace. With grace. Okay? Titus 3:1-2 says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. All right? So positive statements. This isn't just the power of positive thinking, but there is something to when we talk, we should make it worthwhile. Right? So positive statements. Here, let me read you this. You ready? Negative comments and critical statements damage the work of Christ and spread discord among the brethren. You know it's true. Hey, man, it's a great day. Well, it's a great day for you. Right? It happens. But the point is that because God has been so good to us, the joyful noise that should come from my mouth is laughter and positive statements of encouragement, right? I wrote this down as well. Snarky, rude, negative or critical comments should have no place in the believer's mouth. Now, I know what I'm saying there. That's a lot, and it's hard, right? But at the same time, that's what God has called us to do and to be, right? Proverbs 9, I wrote this, because this is what a lot of people will say. Well, hey, I just say what's on my mind. Whatever I'm thinking, you're going to get it. Well, that's unbiblical, right? So when we say things like that, we really are not saying, man, look at me, I'm super awesome because I just speak my mind, right? So turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. I said that it's unbiblical, so let's make sure that it is. Proverbs 29. And verse 11, the Bible says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards, right? So when people say, well, hey, man, I just speak my mind. You're just saying, I like to be a fool, okay? So it should be positive statements. And the reason why I put that there is because a lot of the times when we're rude or when we're mean or when we have a bad attitude, we blame it on saying, well, I just speak my mind. Okay, all right, it got real quiet. I didn't mean for it to. I'm trying to help us have a good attitude, all right? Okay, so that's our goal, is so positive statements. Listen, there is nothing that rains more on your parade than when you're excited about something and somebody just comes over there and dumps a big old bucket of cold water on it. It's like, oh man, it's a great day in the Lord. Oh, right? So here it is. If that affects you, then when you're that way, you affect them. Okay? All right? So we got to be careful. So the joyful noises that should come from our mouth is laughter, positive statements. Here we go. Letter C is this. Encouragement to others. Encouragement to others. Proverbs 31:26, right? Which talks about the godly woman, right? That's what Proverbs 31 is about the godly woman. And this is what it says, Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Ready? Let her see an encouragement to others. An encouragement to others. These are the joyful noises that should come from our mouth. Listen, God should never hear us using our tongue to hurt each other. I remember getting in so much trouble. Some of the worst times of fellowship that me and my parents ever had was because I said the most hurtful things to my siblings. You know what it's like? If you're an only child, lucky you. No, all right. Well, maybe, all right? But you know it's true that sometimes the ones you love the most are also the ones you'll cut the deepest because you know what hurts them. You know it. And we can use that. And so what happens is we do a lot of damage, right? I think we've heard about this a lot, right? Brother Brad's lesson to the men on Sunday morning. Guys, 9:15, be there, be square, all right? But it's true. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? So we want to be an encouragement to others. Be an encouragement to others. You need encouragement at times, right? You need it. So again, I say this, so be it. The things I need is also the things I need to be, okay? So an encouragement to others. Letter D, and as far as the joyful noises, this will be our last one of this part, is this, praise to God, praise to God. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Numbers 11, 1, and when the people complained, you ready? It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Here we go. This is where it starts eating my lunch. Not that the others didn't, because I already, all right? But here's where something really eats my lunch. Complaining is the opposite of praising. Complaining is the opposite of praising. This one cut deep. Complaining is saying, God has never been good to me, and God hasn't been fair to me. That's what complaining says. That's tough. That's tough. Because here's the truth. I like to complain. I like to complain. Right? Anybody ever read the book? It's just a kid's book. Alexander and the Horrible, Terrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Anybody ever read that book? Okay. If you have it, you should. It's a good read. All right? And when you read the book, just look at it and say, yes, this is a redheaded little kid named Mark for sure. All right? But it seems like in Alexander's day, everything goes wrong, right? Gum in the hair, right? Everybody else got toys in the cereal, and all he got was cereal, right? I mean, just, he gets sick in the car, right? Everybody gets a window seat except him. And many times, you would think that because of how much we complain, every moment of every day is terrible, horrible, no good, very bad. And many times, that's just not true. So our mouth should be filled with praise to God. Then if I'm praising God, then I won't have time for complaining. Because if complaining is opposite of praising, if I will focus in on praising God, it will help me to make sure that I am not complaining. There was a lady one time, and she came to a pastor, and she said, Pastor, I think I'm just about to have a nervous breakdown. And he said, oh, man, I'm so sorry to hear that. How can we help? And she just said, I don't know. I'm about to lose it. And he said, okay. He said, well, if you could just hold on to that just for a minute, we'll schedule that mental breakdown just a little bit. But on Monday night, if you would help a couple widow ladies, that sure would be good, all right? That would be great. Oh, well, you know, I'm about to lose it, but okay. All right, I'll do that on Monday. And he said, well, on Tuesday, we also are going to try and do some, you know, extra sprucing around the church, maybe a little cleaning. Oh, okay, if you could help with that, right? So you get where I'm going with this. So he gave her all these tasks to do. A couple weeks later, he went to the lady and said, now, Sister so-and-so, are you ready to have that nervous breakdown? She looked at her and said, Pastor, I ain't got no time. Ain't got no time. Many times the reason why I'm complaining is because I'm not praising. We like to think that we are really good at multitasking. And some are better than others, but the truth of the matter is, we're not good at multitasking. Truth be told, we're debatable sometimes whether we're good at one thing at a time, right? But if we will make sure that these are the things that we're using our mouth for, laughter, positive statements, encouragement, praise to God, we won't have time, right? And the main thing and the biggest thing that is a telltale is to be reminded that what comes out of my mouth is nothing more than expression of my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so what I need to do is I need to focus in on the laughter, on the positive statements, on the encouragement, and on the praise. And when my heart is filled with praise, it will not make everything perfect, but it'll help me to have the right attitude through it. Okay? So we see, first of all, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So the noises, the joyful noises that we make, the way that we use our mouth will help us in having the right attitude. Number two, ready? Number two is this: God deserves to see his children serving with gladness. Verse 2, serve the Lord with, what does it say? Hold on. Okay. All right. Back to lesson 101. All right. Everybody looking? Here we go. Serve the Lord with
gladness.
Very good. Very good. God deserves to see his children serving with gladness. Okay. If you have an opportunity to serve the Lord, we should all do it with gladness. Many times, and I'll be honest with you, especially when you work at church. When you work at a church, it can turn into a job. I just have to go do this. I gotta go do this. Well, I gotta go to grow. Well, I gotta go to the service, right? If I don't go to the service, pastor's gonna be texting me, so I guess I better go. Right? And it can turn into drudgery. But let me say this. I say this to help. When serving the Lord is drudgery, there's a heart problem. It's not a schedule problem. It's not a time problem. It's a heart problem. Let's think of it this way. So Saturday night, you know, hey, didn't have work all day, and so we've been enjoying the day, and so now it's getting a little bit later, maybe 10:30 at night, a Saturday night, and here's our attitude. I guess I got to go to bed so we can go to church tomorrow. And that's where the bad attitude is exposed. But here's the problem. When it's exposed, we've got to understand what the real problem is. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. If you go back to some of the joyful noises, have I been praising the Lord? Am I understanding what I'm really doing? Man, I'm here to serve the Lord. Brother Jamie caught me on Sunday when I was busy doing something, and he looked at me and he said, "Who are you serving today?" Jesus. That is sometimes our attitude, isn't it? So what we're here is this: serve the Lord with gladness. Let me just throw this in here. As I always used to hear, this is free, doesn't cost you extra. All right? The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say, serve the Lord if you have gladness. It doesn't say, if you have the right heart, then serve the Lord. It's literally two in the same. Serve the Lord, because that's what we're supposed to do, and do it with gladness. Well, how does that work? We decide how we do anything. It is true. For whatever reason, to get up super early to go hunt, to fish, to camp, to go on vacation, not a big deal. Why? Because it's what we want to do. To get up early, to go right over here off Tyler Street to the bus barn, for me, not that fun. Right? But I do it. Well, why do you do it? Because I need money. Right? Why do you go to your job? Because I love it. You lying dog. That's not true. Okay, that's B, all right? Yeah, sure, that is wonderful. The idea of do what you love, then you'll love every day. Great. I got to work because I need my bills paid. Right? Sure, okay? But listen, we still do what we need to do because it's what we need to do. I still go to work when I don't feel like it. Why? Because I need to go to work, right? So when I need to serve the Lord, I need to do it with gladness. And here's how I do it. I just do it. I do it. I don't feel like going to church today. That's the day you really need to go. I don't want to be there. You need to be there, right? And so these are things that will help us in having the right attitude. God deserves to see his children serving him, but not just serving him with gladness. And that is a good question for us all to ask. What are we doing it for? Well, you know, I haven't been doing it for the Lord, so I'll quit. Nope, that's not the answer. The answer is to serve the Lord and to work on doing it with gladness. And that'll help us in our day to day, right? So verse number two, serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, God deserves to hear his children sing his praises. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Do you know, isn't it interesting how impactful music is in our lives? Oh, it's super. Truck stop. They want you to come in and go out quick. They're going to play something fast, upbeat, and get you moving. That's just what they do. Romantic dinner with your wife, right? You go over here to prime rib. You go in there, and you sit down at a table. And, man, you know, it's quiet, kind of quiet ambiance. Maybe a little smooth saxophone playing, right? Okay. Let's see this. You're sitting down at Denver. Dinner, not Denver. That's what different. All right, you're sitting down at Denver. Dinner. I got Denver on the brain, apparently. All right, you're sitting down at dinner, and you and your wife, you're having a nice anniversary dinner, and all of a sudden, Alvin, Simon, and Theodore, the Chipmunks, start playing. Does that ruin the mood? Sure. Okay. Now, here's my point. Music has a massive impact on us. You don't believe me? Okay. What was Satan when he was Lucifer? What was something that he was really created to do? You know what it was? Music. I don't know exactly how it all works out, but I'm just telling you, you read in the Old Testament that somehow Lucifer was created almost like with this hybrid, like kind of pipe organ built into him. And I'm not trying to be all like, all right? I'm just telling you, music is a massive part of our lives and it affects us in so many ways. Some music makes us rage. I went to there was a kid in the youth group that I was working at one time. And he was trying, I'll say that very clearly. He was trying to do MMA a little bit. So he was fighting. Let me just tell you, that atmosphere is weird. Everybody's raging. Everybody's ready to just punch somebody in the throat. And most of it is one of two things, music or alcohol. That's truly what's going on there. And it makes us rage, okay? My point being is not just to waste your time. My point is saying that our music and praises to the Lord, singing, makes a massive difference with our attitudes. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I love the song, God Wants to Hear You Sing. If you never heard that song, it's a great one, all right? God wants to hear you sing. Paul and Silas, they're in the jail. You remember that night? They're in jail. They've been beat half to death, over half to death. They've been beat. And here's what they're doing at midnight, praising the Lord, okay? What's going to help me in my attitude on a day-to-day basis is making sure that I'm just praising the Lord, singing praises to the Lord. One of the ways is during congregational singing. What does God see or hear from us? Let me just tell you, singing is not just something to do to fill time. Because if that was the case, we'd just have short church all the time. We walk in here, pastor gets up, he preaches, we go home. Okay? Short church, yeah. That's a joke. That's laughter, okay? Laughter, all right? But truly, it's a part. And sometimes the reason why my attitude stinks is because I haven't been praising the Lord in song. Okay? Praising the Lord in song. Singing during church services is far more important than just filling time. It's a big part. We could go to Ephesians 5. We could go to Colossians 3. In Ephesians 5, we would learn this, that heartfelt singing is an outward sign that we are filled with the Spirit of God. Let's just turn there real quick. Ephesians 5. I know it's familiar, but it's good to be reminded of it. Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19. You know this one. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Listen, if we don't want to sing praises to the Lord, it shows and it's a sign that we're not being filled with the Spirit of God. Not some extra special, but whether the Spirit of God has all of us. Hey, Am I wanting to sing? Am I trying to get out of singing? Am I trying to stay away from it? Sometimes when you're mad, sometimes when your attitude stinks, and a song like, The Goodness of God, or Victory in Jesus, or, I mean, all sorts of songs, right? You know what you do as soon as you hear that? Turn it off. I don't want to hear that right now. I want to be in my bad mood, right? It happens all the time. It happens all the time, right? You get mad when you're upset and you're frustrated and somebody starts trying to make you laugh. Don't you do it. And then you start laughing and then it's like, oh, okay, it's better, right? But truly, listen, hey, singing is a part of that, okay? Heartfelt singing is an outward sign that we are filled with the Spirit of God, that we are under His control, okay? I don't want to sing. Well, are you not being under the control of the Holy Spirit? Okay, Colossians 3:16. We're right here. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 3, verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Ready? Listen, so the beginning starts this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So listen, heartfelt singing is an outward sign that you are filled with the word of God. Right? I don't want to sing. Have you been in your Bible lately? Right? Now, this is not a gripe session. This is not trying to be mean to people. Listen, I faced it today. I could give you some very clear instances today on bus 209, Route 31, right over here by the brand new Aquatic Center. Duh! Frustrated. Bad attitude. Right over here, over, let's see here, what, Fairway. You get a radio today. 31, you're going to need to do this extra thing. okay. We face it. We face having a bad attitude on a daily basis, okay? All right? And then lastly, let's finish with this here in our text. God deserves to see a spirit of gratitude from his children. Verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. God deserves to see a spirit of gratitude from his children. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. It hurts. It hurts. When I try to sacrificially do something for my kid, and he has no idea what it took to get it. And he's like, I don't want that. Parents, it hurts, doesn't it? It does. Grandparents, sure. Here we are. We're about to have Christmas, right? You know what the worst thing on Christmas Day is? Man, I worked real hard, and I tried to think about this person. I got them this gift, and they pick it up, and they say, it's the wrong color. Oh, I'll show you what the wrong color is. Right? Can I? I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to do it. I will say, as a man, something that maybe we don't really talk about. Sometimes what doesn't make me want to work hard at being a better husband, it's not because of you, not because of the lady, not because of her, okay? But sometimes the reason why we quit trying in our marriages is because we are just like, well, they're not going to like it. This is a lot deeper than we think it is. What do you mean? Well, I'd help make the bed, but every time I do it, she says it's wrong. Well, I'd help cut the grass, but he says every time I just scalp it. Come on. You know this is true. This happens in our marriages all the time. Okay? And it's frustrating. And so what happens is we quit. We just quit trying. Well, we just give up. Nothing I ever do is good enough, and I just quit. Okay? So apply that to the fact of what all God has given to us. Man, thankfulness. Thankfulness. I'm just so thankful for what God has given to us. And so because of that, God deserves to see a spirit of gratitude from his children. Listen, it hurts in your marriage. It hurts with your children. It hurts with your friends when you try to do something and they're ungrateful. Okay? We're so thankful that God's mercy and his love toward us is not just dependent on what we do, because he would have quit having mercy on me a long time ago. So we're thankful that that's not how it works. But I will say that what he does deserve is just gratitude for all that he's given to us, right? So our attitudes, the truth is that they stink sometimes. They are bad. They affect us. They affect others. And here's how to have a right attitude. Just go back to Psalm 100. Isn't it interesting that a psalm that really helps us to have a right attitude is really not that long? Five verses, right? If we'll just go back to God's word. So when a bad attitude springs up, don't be quick to stop God working in our lives. Don't be quick to run away from Scripture. Don't be quick to run away from church when we're having a bad attitude and we're hurting. Okay? Run to him. Run to him. And that's what he deserves, because he is such a good, good God. Amen? All right, let me say that one more time. He is a good, good God, isn't he? Amen. And I'm so thankful that even on my bad days, that he still loves us. And he still cares for us. And maybe tomorrow might be a bad day. Okay? It might come. It might be tomorrow. It might be 5 minutes from now. If Mark will hurry up and shut it, we could go to Dairy Queen, right? Hey, it might be 5 minutes from now. But when it comes, we know it. And let's just run to the scripture, and Psalm 100 is a great place to run when our attitude isn't where it needs to be, okay?